Brian Noonan in for Patty Vasquez on 720 WGN. After midnight, our friends from the Irish American Heritage Center will be here because, you know, it's March 1st in about 22 minutes, and that means St. Patrick's Day is right around the corner. We know what we'll be eating and drinking on St. Patrick's Day, but what will you be eating and drinking in the future? Because Chicago is a wonderful restaurant town, a lot of great food here, and it's become more and more cutting edge. Mike Castillo and Joe Garber are with Data Central, and they are here because they study trends in the dining industry. And welcome. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Two, this has got to be a very cool field because you get to kind of be fortune tellers, but it's all based on data, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
You're not just making this up out of thin air, are you?
I mean, I wish we could. I wish I could just say pierogies are the next trend.
And ooh, that would be great, yeah.
Menus. But yeah, no, our Data Central, that's our name, so it's all based on data.
Yep. And all right, so how does this happen? How does something become a trend? Because for there to be data, there has to be things that preceded
sure.
the data.
Yeah.
Things had to happen. So how do these trends start to gain traction and so that they come to your attention and you go, wow, there's a lot of data that cilantro is the
you know,
most hated condiment ever?
So actually, we started as a company that had a giant menu database, and that allowed us to see what was going on the American menu all across the country.
Okay.
So now we've been doing it over 10 years now. We can look at the data and see, you know, something's up on menus, something's down on menus. Things tend to start in fine dining. So when we see something show up at like Alinea here in Chicago,
right.
Then it kind of hits our radar. And then we have something called the menu adoption cycle, and we track it through that. So it starts in inception, goes to adoption, proliferation. And then when you see it in ubiquity, it's at places like, mid-scale restaurants, those family restaurants where you eat
like a Chili's
breakfast. Actually, beyond that, so like breakfast places like IHOP and Bob Evans,
yeah.
Usually when, you know, they've kind of adopted something, then we say it's in ubiquity.
Then you can't escape it. So let's go back to last year. What were, as you guys looked at the data and you said, okay, for coming up in 2017 and 18, these are going to be what were the big trends last year?
So actually last year, the last time we were on the show, we talked about some of them. We talked about fat washed cocktails was one.
Fat washed cocktails?
Yeah, this is actually my favorite trend. So actually, you take fat, so it can be butter or duck fat or kind of whatever you want, olive oil. You put it into a spirit, put it in the refrigerator, let it sit overnight, take it out, you kind of scrape off that fat over the top, and you get that oily kind of, you know, rich flavor that you get out of duck fat or whatever it may be. Put it in your cocktail, and now you have like a really unique cocktail on menu. So
I'm glad this is radio because I know I'm trying not to make a face, but I can't help it because I'm like, wait a minute, David.
No,
first
it's
of
delicious.
All, I know I go out enough. I mean, I don't just eat it. I've never been anywhere that went, would you like us to put some fat in your bourbon? No, thank you. I'll just take the bourbon because, you know, a nice bourbon is fine. I don't need it doused in duck fat.
Well, that's actually, so bourbon is kind of one of the cocktails that they started. Bacon washed bourbon was like one of the precursors of this trend. So,
Michael, run out and get me some Crisco and a bottle of Jack Daniels. We are going to have a party tonight. So now, what level did that reach? Did I know if I go to Bob Evans?
Yeah, it's not there yet.
It's not at Bob Evans.
I mean, so for us, we usually say it takes about 10 to 12 years for things to move through that cycle.
Okay.
Things are speeding up. So in the future, it'll probably be about 6 to 8 years to move through that cycle.
Okay.
But the things we're talking about now, so today we'll talk about our 2018 trends. I mean, you know, before it gets to the end of that menu adoption cycle, it's going to be a good, you know, 8-10 years.
Okay. So now, For these to land on your radar,
yeah.
You said it's got to, you know, it usually starts with fine dining. How widespread does it have to be? And I know not to the ubiquitous level or even in close. How widespread does it have to be before it makes a blip so you guys start going, oh, okay. You know, 2 menus across the country, 10 menus across the country?
Yeah. I mean, there's no exact number. Like, you know, now it hit 10 menus, and so now we're officially calling
now you're
it
gonna,
a trend.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but that is, you know, there's only so many really, really fine dining restaurants that are doing really crazy stuff. So once a couple of those places do it, it's probably going to be on our radar. For our database, you know, once we start seeing things, if it's less than 1%, what we call menu penetration, so it's on less than 1% of menus across across the country. It's still an inception at that point.
Okay.
And then after we kind of see it hit, you know, 2%, 3% and start growing from there, then we'll start moving it. Yeah.
Historically, is there one region of the country that seems to lead the way in trends? Is it New York? Is it the West Coast? Is it here?
Yep. It's Chicago.
Really?
So, yeah. We actually did a study that looked at which cities had the most unique menus. So the most options in a city, different options. And I think a lot of people think that New York and San Francisco is where it is. Yeah. But actually, Chicago, we have more unique options to eat here than any other place in the country.
Very nice.
That is to say that New York and the coast, that is where trends start. There's a lot of media there. You know, people kind of hear about things that happen in New York. So if something happens in New York, it has a better chance of moving, definitely.
Okay, well, let's get started because I know you've brought in some things that are trending. And as I mentioned to you before we started, as the years have gone on, I've tried to become more open-minded.
Good.
In the past, you know, like most, when you're younger, I'm not going to eat it. Now I figure, at least I'll try something. If I don't like it, I never have to have it again. But why not at least try? So for the things that you've brought in that you are saying are going to be trends for 2018 and beyond.
Yeah.
At what level are they at? Are they still in inception?
Yep, inception.
So these are still in inception.
So these are the things. I mean, it takes a really long time for a company to kind of put a product through that production process. So we're telling them start looking at this stuff now because it's going to take them that 6, 8, 10 years to actually put it on your grocery shelves.
Now, are these from restaurants just here in Chicago or are these things from across the country
seen?
Okay,
across the country. Everything here you can probably find on some fine dining menu here in Chicago, or an ethnic independent, you know, the ethnic neighborhoods here in Chicago, they have a lot of stuff. We like to look at global cuisines to see what's happening. So we actually have a lot of that today.
What do you want to start with? What's going to be the first food trend?
So, why don't we start with the one I made myself?
Is that allowed? Are you allowed to just?
So we check to make sure it's okay. This is a salt cured egg yolk. So do we have a knife if we can cut it and put it on a cracker here? I mean, you probably don't want to eat this entire egg yolk.
No, probably not.
So I actually put this on Sunday into a mixture of salt and sugar. It's basically the exact same thing that happens if you're going to cure meat. You're just taking some of that liquid out of it.
Right.
And so you're getting a really, a lot of times you'll see it on menus called a fudgy egg yolk because it has kind of a fudgy texture.
All right.
So I'm going to give you a piece here and see what
and
you
where
think.
Was this... where could we find it? Where did
you? So
you
can actually find this at a restaurant called Smith here in Chicago.
Okay,
they got a James Beard Award this year. Oh. They do a salt cured. It's a licorice salt cured egg yolk. It's a dessert they became pretty famous for, and people kind of go crazy for it.
It looks like jelly.
Yeah,
it looks like jelly.
And you can actually leave it in the salt for as long as you want, and it's going to get harder and harder. And at a certain point, you can grate it over salads or pasta. So I'm looking at your face.
But I'm thinking it's
salty.
It's very salty.
I mean, yeah, you get the salt.
And it's very gummy.
Yeah.
It's like a salty gummy bear, kind of.
Yes.
Because you don't, if you're thinking, well, I've tasted egg yolks before.
Yeah.
I know what an egg yolk tastes. This doesn't taste like an egg yolk.
Yeah.
So it's like, I always say chefs and even mixologists are mad scientists. Because... you know, like I said, we've all had an egg yolk, and now they've taken this egg yolk and turned it into something crazy.
Something totally different.
Yeah.
But it literally is just an egg yolk. Nothing's changed about it other than liquid has been taken out of it. So.
And that's from the salt? The salt
sugar. Exactly.
Wow.
Anybody could do this at home. Just put it in some salt and sugar. That's all I did.
Listen, Esmeralda, when you get your chickens and they lay those eggs in the backyard, you can make yourself some fuzzy yolks and then bring them in, and we'll have a little fine dining cocktail party.
That sounds nice.
It does sound nice. Mike Castillo is here. He's from Data Essentials. We're talking about food trends for 2018. We will do more of them after this on 720 WGN. Oh my. It's quite an experiment going on in the studio here at WGN. Mike Castillo is here. He's senior publications manager at Data Essential. They are. He forecasts food trends and he does a Dine Around magazine for the industry, trying to tell people, hey, you know, if you're a restaurateur, you might want to be on the lookout for this. It's coming. We had a salt-cured egg yolk,
yep.
which I was – I told you. I was surprised. It was – I was a little apprehensive. It was very tasty. All right.
Good.
We got a few more. What else?
Yeah.
What else you got?
So the next one we're going to go to, and I'm going to warn you, it's very, very – some people love it. Some people hate it.
Is this controversial?
It's rose water. So it's not actually anything super crazy.
Okay.
It's something that was on American menus – you know, at the
I was
going to
say, I've heard of this. I've heard of rose water before.
Yeah.
This is not something new.
So before vanilla kind of became our go-to flavoring for desserts, rose water was the go-to flavoring.
Okay.
So take a swig and just what
now,
do
should
you think
I,
of
should
it?
I sip it or should
yeah,
I just do a, shoot, just a the,
yeah.
shot of it?
Well, I'm
there's nothing there, really.
Yeah. I mean, do you think it tastes like...
I think it tastes like water.
Like, really?
I think
maybe
it tastes
we need
like
to
the water
more
coming
in
out of
there.
My,
I mean, you could drink it
bottle.
Straight from the bottle that we have, too. So
no,
we
that's...
diluted this. We put this in water.
Okay. Is it just made of... This is a dumb question. Is it made out of roses?
Made out of roses,
just
yeah.
Just roses
rose
in water?
Yeah, yeah. So to me, it tastes just like perfume, and I just can't drink it. Like, it's used a lot in desserts. You'll see it in ice cream and cake, and
yeah,
I don't know. That, like,
maybe my palate is not – maybe your palate's much more evolved than mine, Mike. I mean, I'm getting a little aftertaste now, but – now it's coming.
It's going to be there for a while. So,
okay.
I mean, no, we'll give you something to kind of kill that taste. So the next one we'll go to, it's actually, speaking of vanilla, and the reason rose water is one of our trends
to watch.
Why
is rose water making a comeback?
Is because Middle Eastern cuisine is just really hot right now. That's cuisine everybody's interested in. You know, it's the one we keep getting asked about by big food manufacturers.
Yeah.
So we're really focused on Middle Eastern cuisine.
Okay, right now, and they use a lot of rose water in their recipes?
Yep, a lot of rose water in Middle Eastern cuisine, Indian cuisine, Mediterranean cuisine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where I've seen it on menus at Indian restaurants.
Would
that
absolutely.
Be right? Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
I was going to say, because I've seen
it.
Like I said, I'd seen it before. Yeah, you know what? The more we're sitting here, the more this taste is kind of coming back. And I'm like, yeah, all right, I was wrong.
To me, it's that perfumey taste that you get. Have you eaten anything lavender flavored?
I tried a lavender ice cream.
Yeah. So that's what it tastes like.
Yeah, very flowery.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
so,
hence the
some
rose
people
water
love
thing.
It, yeah.
All right. Man,
so the next one we're going to go to is the pandan. So we were talking about vanilla. This
is
sometimes called the vanilla of Southeast Asia. So
it's
actually a type of grass. Have you had matcha?
No.
Matcha. So there's actually a brand new coffee shop that's going to be opening up in River North. Brendan Sodikoff, who owns Hog Salt Hospitality, he runs Ocheval. So, you know, best burger.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah.
So they're going to open. It's actually a coffee shop here in River North, and it's only focused on matcha, which is a Japanese green tea.
Okay.
So there's all this interest in matcha. So this is supposed to be the next generation
this
of matcha.
This is new.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm seeing there's like green jello.
Yeah.
And then there's something white on the fork.
Is that the
pandan?
I don't know.
What's the...
I mean, maybe you got a little straggler on your fork.
Is that
So this is actually...
So wait, should I eat this thing?
I don't know.
Okay?
Don't eat whatever the white thing is. Don't eat that.
There's a lot of it. There's a lot of the white on this green jello. Hold on.
So Joe picked this
I need
this
a taster
up.
Like the kings used to have. Michael, come in here and taste this for me. If something horrible happens to you, then I'll know I shouldn't have eaten it.
This is... No.
First of all, I'm not going to lie to you. I hate jello
with a
passion.
Well, so you're automatically not going to like this.
No, it's just not my favorite.
Yeah. When this is, I mean, it doesn't normally come.
It doesn't
get it
come
as a
like
jello.
This?
But yeah, I usually you see
maybe
it
the white stuff scared me. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know what the white stuff is.
I see it in desserts a lot.
It looks like
cake
coconut.
And ice cream.
So pandan.
Pandan.
The vanilla of Southeast Asia.
Yeah. So we'll see.
All right.
6 to 8 years.
You know what? Who knows where I'll be in 6 to 8 years? Maybe my everything will have evolved. And I'll be craving pandan. I may actually become an expat in Southeast Asia just so I can have more pandan.
Just
have pandan. Non-stop pandan. What if I mix the pandan and the rose water?
I don't know.
That'd be
that
horrific,
seems a
wouldn't
bit
it?
Much, yeah.
That would be. That would be awful. All right. What else you got?
Okay, so let's stay on the color theme. Ube? Have you had ube before?
No. I may have.
Yeah.
I don't know. It sounds familiar.
Okay. So this is, it's called purple yam. So it's Filipino purple yam.
Oh,
it's
that's
a bright purple color.
Yeah. Yes.
So if you've had anything from the Philippines, I mean, it's just ubiquitous there.
Yeah.
So you've probably had it before. So this is, we brought in an ube jam for you. I'm going to put it on a cracker.
It and, looks fun. It's a nice deep purple.
So
I'd like a sweater that color. It's very nice.
And this is sweet. So you should, I think you'll like this.
based on our extensive track record so far.
Okay.
All right. And so this is a yam.
Yep.
And it is, and then it's sweetened.
And then this one is turned into a jam. But I mean, you see it kind of like pandan in a lot of desserts. And the reason this is trending is because purple foods in general are trending.
Why is that?
The purple food trend is really big right now because purple and blue foods have something called anthocyanins in them, and people believe that anthocyanins are good for you. So they're just good for your body. They detox your body. So we're seeing a lot of this, purple food movement, and ube is probably the star of that movement.
I like the ube.
You like it?
Oh,
yeah.
Sure. See, I'm not complete. No, the ube was very good. Well, this was fascinating, and I'm glad you came in. Hopefully we can talk again.
Absolutely.
This was great. Mike Costio is the Senior Publications Manager at Data Central. And they're talking, they study data and they come up with food trends that perhaps, listen, in 8 years, you and I will go. We'll sit down. We'll have some pandan and a little ube. We'll wash it down with some rose water, and then we'll go out and get a hamburger and eat some regular old non-fine dining food. Thank you very much for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
It was a lot of fun. All right, let's do this. Then it's news time, WGN.